The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Joel, before you go, I know you're leaving here. I have to ask this question now because I haven't had it in a while. On line two is somebody named Will in Wilmerding. Now, that sounds to me like it's an awfully fishy guy. But again, I do not talk to these people. You do. Am I right? Is it fishy or am I wrong? It's legit.
I think it's a little fishy, Bob.
You do?
I do think it's a little
fishy. All right,
fishy.
Having said that stage, I'm not afraid to go out there and find out if it's... Hey, Bob. Will and Wilmerding, you're on.
Hey, Bob. Does Anthony Tyler Palco could replace Justin Fields?
Joe, don't you have enough of me during the week?
Bob, it was a big moment, wasn't it, Saturday?
As soon as I saw it, I knew. But I said, you gotta become. You know, I can't. Go
I'm
to
not
these
convinced
anymore.
That Jolie was checking me. He was not bouncing me at the bar there. I got right in, Bob. He only said that because you said, does that sound fishy? And then he said, yes. Basically, come to think of it, it does sound fishy.
It does sound fishy. And as soon as I heard your voice, that's when I knew Joe Starkey just can't get enough of me. Why?
I don't know. It was one last hurrah. I'll never, yeah. I think that jumped the shark with Pony. It jumped the shark. Pony, in other words, Pony did the greatest job of it that could never
he
be
did.
Topped.
He was... You know, it sounds like a lot of callers that I get, so I thought it was...
It was just George and Washington.
George and Washington.
I mean, it was...
Bob!
It was spectacular, Bob. A couple of other laundry list items. The photo of me and you for the Pomp and Joe show. I'm really happy that I only look hideous and not something beyond that. There's no sign of a turkey gobbler because of the angle that right. Ben shot the photo at. So I look like a relatively healthy,
normal
man.
No, I think it's a great
man.
Picture. I think yeah. You look great. What are you talking about? You can't look at it. You don't have to, you know,
it looks like I'm square-jawed. I look almost healthy. I don't know if he cropped out the turkey gobbler. Did you see this photo, Limits?
I have. It's a really nice picture of you guys.
It is a nice photo, Bob. Are you happy with it, the way you turned out?
Yes, I think it's awesome. And the best thing about it is that we didn't have a makeup artist. It's all real.
You're right about that. And then the third thing is, much as Limits love having you on the show because you open up new avenues to things like the Freiermuth autographed ball that you helped broker today, the possibility of that for the guy who caught the punt yesterday, Lucas Boyd, you haven't really stepped up in the food game yet, and we're hoping you can treat us to lunch today. Jersey Mike's?
Can't. You know my schedule. I got to go straight to TV. I can't. I don't have time.
Oh, no. We can have it delivered.
I'm not going to do that. I don't like... Now, listen, there's a great business out there, you know, Uber Eats and all those kind of things, delivery services. I think, in my own personal opinion, that's a waste of money. I'd rather go in... And I like doing stuff on my own. I don't need people to deliver it to me.
I'm shocked here.
Yeah, pretty much, I guess.
I'm sitting here shocked. Limits. All right, then I guess I'll treat us.
See, the other thing is you don't know is when I go home, I have to go home, shower. My wife always has lunch for me. So if I would order lunch now, it would be defeating the purpose. She's great about that.
That's very
sure,
nice.
Sure, but what about your coworkers, myself and Limits?
Fend for yourself.
All right. That's fair, actually. A little bit awkward.
There'll be days. Well, there'll be days when we have an opportunity, but this is just not one of them.
Okay. Limits, thoughts on all this?
I've moved past it.
Me too. Let's go back to the report card, and let's move over to the defense, Bob, before we start arguing at noon. And this is Ray Fittipaldo. It's always the number one read story the day after the game. It's uncanny, this guy.
People love, like, you know, not deep philosophical conversations.
Right. They want grades.
They want quick reaction.
Remember when the Post-Gazette used to have...
the culture of it now with all the TikToks and the things.
Yeah,
it's quick hitting.
I think they've always loved that, though. They've always loved that. They've always loved trivia. People like certain things. Remember the high school coaches used to do the report card for the Post-Gazette?
Yeah.
That was fun, wasn't
it? We used to have on TV. It was a great guy. It was just... We called him the guy in the parking lot. And he had great opinions.
Fabulous. Yes.
And all it was is, you know, we would have our... official predictions or results or grades. And then, oh, by the way, it was a guy in the parking lot, think. And
great
then
idea.
Come on, and he has a Yinzer accent.
Great idea. I love it. Ray gives the defensive line a B. Hayward, two more sacks, et cetera, et cetera. Browns ran for 104. I'll go first here. I think this was Ray reverting back to being a tough grader here. I think it was easy on the offense. I mean, sure, they weren't totally dominant, but Ogunjobi left hurt. Cam had two sacks, and Benton changed the whole tenor of the game. I'm giving them an A-minus, Bob.
Yeah, I think defense, again, if you judge them on what they were do, big plays, big moments, changing game direction, they did that three different times yesterday, so I'm going to give them an A-minus also.
Yeah, I give them an A. I thought they played pretty well. And the way that they were able to slow down Nick Chubb, who I know is still probably dealing with the injury, anytime you're able to stop that guy, I give you your props.
Linebackers, another tough grade, a B-minus. He calls out Highsmith for the roughing the passer. I thought the actual call on Highsmith was bad, but I thought he was guilty of it back in the end zone. One of the two, he was going to get called. T.J. Watt. Said four tackles, two QB hurries, inside linebackers. I thought had a great game. What is going on here? What does Ray have against their linebackers, Bob? A B minus? I say an A minus.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with that. You know, I thought Landon Roberts played really well at critical moments in that run game. He is a really big time run stopper, and he came up with one of the plays of the game on that fourth and one. Although I had to wonder what in the world Cleveland was doing. There was a lot of pre-snap movement on that. I don't know if they were trying to induce the Steelers to come off sides, whatever.
Well, as a little aside to that, Bob, I hate running wide on third and short or fourth and short.
Well,
and the Steelers did
straight,
it too.
Yeah,
the
later,
Steelers pitch out to Najee on those. Just go straight ahead.
Have a push Jinx. From the tush and you're good.
Yes. I don't like that. So what do you give them? Linebackers?
I'd B plus, A minus in that range.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they get a B plus. I don't like running wide either. It just doesn't make sense to go lateral when everyone else is already informed, just kind of waiting for you at that point. But now, TJ Watt, I wanted to see more. I give him a B plus.
Yeah, I go A minus here. I mean, TJ was quiet, but other guys sure weren't. Highsmith, I thought, had a pretty good game, and the inside guys were great. Tomlin, one of his big points of emphasis was Patrick Queen on Njoku. And when that matchup happened, I like Queen. Njoku didn't do any damage till the game was basically over.
Right.
Queen had 10 tackles and a broken up pass. And Roberts, did you see him wreck the center on that run play?
Oh, he did.
Oh, my God.
He's got that low center of gravity.
He really goes low,
and he's very powerful with his legs.
And then a huge play on fourth and one, a five-yard loss. What a great signing he was by Omar Khan. 2 years, $7 million.
Two of them. Well, more. But the Sean Elliott may be the best signing of all.
We're going to get to him in 1 minute, Bob. And you're right about that. Pro Football Focus has Roberts as the third-rated player at his position in the league. Now, you have to throw in the caveat that he's, you know, a one-trick pony, but that trick is pretty good. It's stopping the run. He's elite at it. I give them an A minus. Secondary, Ray gives them a B. Bob?
B, yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, you know, they gave up a 35-yard touchdown to Jerry Jeudy, and I didn't like how that play worked, but give him credit. They took advantage of what they had, and he made a nice pass, split the defense. Yeah, B.
Average B. Deshaun Elliott continues
average
to play very well.
Average would be a C, limitless wonder.
An average B would be like an 85.
Okay.
Average B.
Yeah, me too. Maybe a little higher, because I thought that Jeudy, who was great last week, he's another guy that had a bunch of junk yards late. Who cares about that? I thought Joey Porter Jr. had a good game. And Bob, I'll let you, Deshaun Elliott, the last item of my column after the game was, am I crazy, or is Deshaun Elliott having a season that's worthy of all pro votes? I think he's been that good.
I don't think there's any question. He should be... You know, he could be a Pro Bowler in some form or fashion, whether or not it's, you know, the start, but I don't know if I'd go that far, but to be on that team.
To be in a conversation. Yeah. I think he's been that good.
They've gotten their money's worth out of him. 2 years, $6 million. That was a shrewd move to bring him in here. And as compliment to Minka Fitzpatrick. In fact, he's been more noticeable at times, and I don't know if that's schematic or what, but he's been terrific.
And then Pierre has the interception. Come on. Give him B+, Bob. What did you give him?
A B+.
Limits, can I talk you into a B+? You forgot about James Pierre, didn't you?
Yeah, usually he doesn't do anything.
He did.
Well, he's atoned for the dropping of the pass from Killebrew in the fake punt situation.
That's correct. Yes, he has.
He has played better since then, for sure.
Okay, special teams, he gives an A-. Boswell's great. Waitman was great. They recovered a fumble, but they did give up that 56-yard return to open the second half. That's a big mistake. I'm going B+. Bob?
B-. And that includes Boswell, who I can always give an A to individually.
Yeah.
But, those yards that they gave up, and it wasn't just that one. There were some pretty good returns that took it out beyond the 30, so don't like to see that.
Brett? Yeah, I'm at a B+, and there's Brett again. I think the returns were not as substantial as it could have been against a better team with a better offense, but they need to shore that up.
Coaching. Give the coaches credit for finding a way to win without Pickens, says Fittipaldo. Smitty took a while to warm up to the task, he said. But in one stretch, Freiermuth did not see the field on 5 consecutive plays, including a 3-and-out. He said that Tomlin simply doesn't lose to the Browns at home. He gives coaching a B, Bob. What do you give it?
B+. Again, my emphasis goes on how did the wide receivers step up in the absence of a big playmaker for them. So that, and the fact that they won a game against a team that could have really shattered their dreams a little bit by beating them twice in the same year. So I think that's important too.
I give them a B. I was concerned with the offense in the first half. It just seems like there was something missing. And yes, it was George Pickens. But it didn't seem like the chemistry from the opening kickoff, the second time that you play a team, second time in two, 3 weeks, whatever. I'm surprised they didn't jump on the Browns quicker. And, I mean, it was better out of the locker room in the second half, but they've been a second-half team this year.
Despite Mike Tomlin lauding his backup receivers, I mean, come on. They were thrown to Scotty Miller, I think once or twice to Skoronic, Van Jefferson, Mike Williams, who strikes me as a guy who's not open very much. He made a great catch. Mm-hmm. And maybe all he needs to do is be a 50-50 option, but I don't think he's a legit number two anymore. And the fact that they worked around that and put together, really, for sure, in the second half, a winning plan. I don't think that this coaching staff has gotten enough credit this year for the way they've played in the second halves of games. That indicates to me, and this is more than half the battle, is adjustments in-game, Bob. Forget about the plans going in. You got to adjust in the NFL, and their numbers, even in the second quarter, but definitely in the second halves, the third quarter, another huge quarter for them, have shown me that they're adjusting in-game. And yesterday was a great example. And they were working around the fact that Pickens wasn't there. And then Ogunjobi wasn't there. I thought it was a really good plan. They adjusted from the first Cleveland game and played better and out-coached the Browns.
No question.
Lucky.
And the fact that in the third quarter, they've only given up 16 points all season long. In that quarter tells you that they've made some adjustments, and if they're out of a game early, you think that keeps them in the game. If they have the lead at halftime, that furthers their goal of, you know, adding to the lead, because their defense has been very good. In fact, their ball possession time on offense in the third quarter is among the best too. So all of that works together in you know, controlling more of a game in the second half.
I agree. And I think that this, you know, half the battle, again, with Tomlin and the Browns being 19-0 at home in the regular season, is just to stand back and let them do what they do, which is beat themselves. Jameis Winston said it after the game, the Browns beat the Browns. Great. That also means the Steelers beat the Browns. You just let them do unto themselves what they always do. Unfortunately, the downside to this win, at least for people like me, is I couldn't help but reflect back on that horrendous game in Cleveland where Tomlin didn't do that. He got proactive. He got too cute. He took out his starting quarterback, for God's sakes. Imagine them doing this to Ben in the prime of his career. Russell Wilson was hot in that game, too, and they let Justin Fields throw a ball down the field, and they wind up losing. They got what they deserved, and that loss could absolutely haunt them because they're hunting home playoff games right now, and that loss it's like a flashing red light every time you look at their record. Yeah, but what about the game in Cleveland? So that's the other side of
it. The Rams did the Steelers a solid last night.
They did, but the Bills are still ahead of the Steelers.
Yeah.
By the way, here's a question for you.
The Bills have Detroit coming up this week. Now,
the Steelers have the Eagles.
Okay, but I'm just saying that possibility does exist. They could jump over them.
Here's a question for you, Bob, and I haven't looked enough into this. I'm just asking. It says on ESPN here in the standings that the playoff standings, the Bills have the 2 seed. They win the tiebreak over Pittsburgh based on strength of victory, which is margin of victory.
Right.
Is it margin or the...
How many you win?
Well, wait a second. Is that the strength of schedule or is that margin of victory?
I think margin of victory is the amount, but the Steelers are like plus something big. They have but the Bills must have more.
I don't know what strength of victory means. Does it mean strength of victory in terms of you've beaten better teams or point margin limits?
I got to believe it's point margin, don't you? I don't know.
That was my first thought, but now I'm confused. But here was my question. If it's point margin, don't you need to score at the end of the Browns game and go for two and try to boost your point margin?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much, and you'd have to keep a running total of how much you are versus the other team if that's the case.
I'm hopelessly confused, Limits, and very sad about that.
Well, we know it's conference record first, and then I think the strength and also the common opponents, where the Steelers still have to play a couple more common opponents that the
Do they count? Like the Bills play the Jets twice. The Steelers only play the Jets once. So how do you incorporate that into common opponents,
Bob? That's a good question.
It's a great question.
It is. I love every syllable and half syllable you just said. I think when you look at also conference losses, Baltimore right now has more than the Steelers. I think two more conference losses. That's a big tiebreaker in either two or three team ties. You know?
If they don't win the division now, it's a meltdown.
Right.
Right.
Well, but I mean, they got three tough games in a row.
Well, so do the Ravens have tough games, too, coming up. Would you agree that if the Steelers don't win the division now, it's a late-season meltdown?
Yes, I would think you're in position to do it. You have to go and seal the deal with some of these teams.
Actually, the Ravens have the Giants coming up, but the Steelers have a 2-game lead. Then the Ravens have the Steelers and at the Texans.
That's a big game for Houston.
And could be for Baltimore.
But I think if you look at Buffalo's schedule, after this one with the Lions, they do have an easy schedule because they're playing their own teams in their own division, I think, and those should be automatic wins.